Before we go on, we need to pray for our nation, people. We're in a struggle as a nation. It's a spiritual struggle more than physical. It's a spiritual thing. And the enemy would love to destroy America. You want to know why? I'll give you one main reason why. Because America prints more Bibles and sends more Bibles throughout all the nations of the world than any all nations combined. And the devil's trying to stop the Word of God from being brought forth through the world to the world. I'm telling you, he's trying to stop it. And if he can stop it, what will rise up? Evil. And so we gotta press in and come against those things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So if you would, let's stand, because this is important to me, and I know it is to you. You know, and if you want to raise your hands, it's up to you. If you want to take your Bible and raise it up, that's up to you, however. But let's call out our nation before the Lord. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Father, we come before you, and we know your word says that if we bow down, if we do what you say, that you will heal our land, Lord. And Father, we're coming to you that you will bring liberty and freedom to America, Lord. Help us as a nation at this time in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, we come to you, and Lord, your word says that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose upon the earth will be loosed in heaven. And Lord God, we come before you, and Lord God, we bind those things, those spirits in the name of Jesus. We take authority over those things, and we tell them to loose those cities, to loose those cities in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray the peace of God will reign upon those cities. Lord God, I pray right now that the preachers in those cities will rise up, Lord God, and take their rightful position in those towns and in those cities. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, do you know, I mean, you know, let's face it. You know, the thing that happened to that man, George Floyd, you know, the knee, and I know that's a hard thing to, you know, I don't know if he was right exactly, but, you know, the guy had done something bad. I mean, you know, for, you know, fake $20 bill and all this stuff, and but we need to continue to pray for our nation and asking God, the Spirit of the Lord, to heal. And you know what? To bring a great revival, people. Oh, because it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that I will come in and I will heal their land and heal their hearts. So we have, it's really, God's given us the answer.
Yes, amen.
We have it. The church always has the answer. Because we serve the Almighty God that has the answer. So, amen. All righty, let's get into the Word. Praise God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. You know, in the Old Testament, we read many, many great stories about great men and great women of the Bible. We read stories about Abraham and Sarah and how God used these two people to form a nation. How God used these two people to start a brand new nation. How they surrendered their lives unto Him. And you know, when we got saved, when we gave our hearts to the Lord, and probably each and every one of us could go back probably to the date and time, even the place where we were and who prayed with us. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, we surrendered everything to Him. Here we see a great man, Abram or Abraham or Sarai or Sarah, how their faith would rise in them as they believed God for the things that God would speak to them and tell them what would happen in their lives, and how God had future things for them, and how they believed God. You know, Abraham's father, you know, was called, his name was Terah. He was 70 years old when he had these three sons of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, Terah, if you want to say it that way, Abraham's father was an idol maker. You know, we often think of Abraham as a great man because he was and is. And we often even call him Father Abraham, huh? Father Abraham. We even sing the song as we were in children's church, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. They laugh when I sing, but that's okay. That's okay. Sing praises unto the Lord. You know, but, you know, we sang these songs. I mean, Father Abraham, I mean, because God has made him our father. And through him, the nation was built. Through him, Christianity came. Through that lineage is where Jesus has come from, you know. And so we look to these two, and we see how they surrendered their lives to God and how God used Abraham, Sarah. You know, it even got to a place where he even changed their names to fit how God was going to use them. From Abram to Abraham to Sarai to Sarah. How God changed their names. And you know, that's the thing with God. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, He changes things on the inside of us. He doesn't leave us the same. See, don't you have a problem when somebody says they give their heart to the Lord and they still live like the devil? Something's wrong. They didn't meet the God I met. Because when God comes in, that doesn't mean we become perfect. There's no way. But there's some changes that happen. There's some changes that go on in a person's heart and life. Because the Spirit of God is trying to make us into the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Making us like Jesus. Not that we are Jesus in no way possible, but He is our example of who we look to. As we look to the Father, He's the one we look to become like. The Spirit of God ever molding us and making us. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you know, that's every day God is looking to mold and make us and shape us and do things in us and put things in us and take things out. Because He has a certain path for each and every one of us. He has certain things that He wants you to do, and He's trying to get you ready to do it. Because He's coming. There's people to touch with by the kingdom of God. There's people that we can touch. That there's people you can touch that there's no way that I could touch. Amen. Trying to change those things on the inside of us, making us into what He desires and wants us to be. And let me tell you, it's not an easy thing when the conviction of the Holy Ghost comes upon us. How many times you've been somewhere and the conviction of the Holy Ghost says, don't say that, don't do that, don't go there. See, that's the Spirit of the Lord. He knows what is best for our personal being on the inside of us. So here we see these two people surrender to God. Now, Abraham's father, and I know we kind of talked about that in the Bible study, and I was going, okay, yeah, was an idol maker. That's interesting, huh? We would have thought of Abraham's father as a godly man, huh? Now, maybe he became a Christian, if you want to say it that way. Maybe he accepted Jesus as, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Maybe he did. I don't know. But somehow, God revealed himself to Abraham, and Abraham got a hold of it. I wonder, this is just a wonder, it doesn't say in the Bible, so don't say this is in the Bible. I wonder, as Abraham maybe was helping his father make idols for people, he kept looking at them and saying, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. And maybe him putting it up and praying to it and nothing happening, seeing zero happen. And maybe one day he called out and he said, God, show me who you are. Who knows? Somehow God revealed himself to him. How many times have we hollered out to God, huh? And God revealed himself to you and to me. Calling out because there was no other hope. There was no other way. There was no other avenue. But God always comes through to his people. We don't have to worry. He doesn't have a deaf ear to us and to our prayers. Praise God. That he doesn't have a deaf ear, but his ears are always open to our prayers. Always open to what he can do or make things happen for us. If it's in the best interest of what we need. See. So we have to surrender just like Abraham and Sarah. They surrendered their lives unto God. Look at this. Genesis chapter 17 says this. Look in verse 1. And it says, and when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I'm a mighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be called Abraham, which is the father of the multitudes. For a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, your seed, and after you, in their generation, for an everlasting covenant. And to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. And I will give you unto you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now look at this. It says, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, we need humbleness in the church. I mean, honestly. A humble heart before God. Sometimes, in just churches all around, there is such arrogance. Well, I go here. And I mean, it is just, and there's nothing wrong with saying where you go, but it should be with a humility of heart. And and hey, when God places you in a place, be faithful to that place, be faithful to the pastor, be faithful to God, number one. But it says Abraham fell on his face before God, and he said, your will be done. And it says, and I'm sorry, I have to drink a little bit in my throat sometimes. And it says that God made a covenant with Abraham. And let me tell you this. When you got saved, this is you, this is God. The Holy Spirit drawing you through Jesus Christ. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you came. came in covenant with God. You were once by yourself. God was here and you were here. But we found that we needed a Savior. And when that covenant was made, when you called upon Him, when I called upon the name of the Lord, God made a covenant. He brought us together, you and God, and intertwined you with Him. And it says to Abraham, an everlasting covenant. You have an everlasting covenant with God. That He will take care of you. He will do whatever it takes to make sure you're taken care of. Mm. But we, on the other hand, have to acknowledge that He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we will obey Him in whatever capacity or way that He calls us to obey when He speaks. That we are not our own anymore, just us. But we have come into a covenant and we have been intertwined with God through His Son Jesus. And now that's why we have to do what He calls us to do and be what God wants us to be. You see, listening to the voice of the Spirit of God on the inside. Listening to the things that He tells us as we read His Word, as we pray and seek His face. An intercovenant that we have been given with Him. And let me tell you, it's a strong covenant because the blood of Jesus is that covenant. Yes, and the blood cannot be destroyed by the enemy. At all. Can't be. Is the blood that defeated him. So every time he sees the blood of Jesus, as Jesus covers his children, as Jesus covers his people, he sees what? Defeat. Every time. He may not admit it, but he sees defeat. Because you are under the covering of the Spirit of God, under the blood of Jesus. And when you're under the blood of Jesus, that means defeat for him and victory for the church. That means defeat for the enemy and victory for his people, God's people. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. An inner covenant, people. Don't walk around defeated. Now I know the weights of the world sometimes, it's hard. We live in this human body. But walk around as a child of God. Not arrogant, humble before Him. Humble before Him. Saying, Lord, Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. The power of Almighty God, people. Look at this. Abraham, Sarah. Now, like I said earlier, Abraham and Sarah, they surrendered their lives unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord. But that doesn't mean they didn't do some mess ups here. Huh. Just a little tad bit here. And Tipa, a little bit. He made some mistakes. Both of them. They made some mistakes, people. They surrendered to God. God made a covenant with them. And here God says that He would multiply His seed as the sands of the sea, you know, and as the stars of the sky. And they didn't see the promised son coming. So they took it in their own hands. And we know the story, you know, had the maid come and go with Abraham. And they had a son, and that son didn't turn out that well. But we can't throw these stones at them. Because sometimes we've made some mistakes ourselves. Huh? And we've taken things in our own hands. But still, God blessed them. Another mistake they made. You ever heard the story in chapter 12? When they went to Pharaoh And they went in, and he said, you know, Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were husband and wife, huh? And they went into this place, and Abraham says to Sarah, because you're so beautiful and the Spirit of God is upon you, when we go in, you tell them, you're my sister. Look. And so, you know, Abraham did it because he didn't want to be killed. Abraham did it because he didn't want to be killed by these, or, you know, something bad happened to him. Look, God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham should have taken that covenant and said, hey, it's going to happen. You know, nothing can destroy us. When God made a covenant with you, God said he would do certain things. He'll do certain things. That's our God. And we know if it wasn't because of God, because they took Sarah, and she was in the chambers of the king. And if it wouldn't have been for the Holy Spirit, because we've all got into trouble. Everybody has gotten into trouble. Shake your head. We have no angels with wings here. Something clipped. No, no. Y'all are some great people. But it got into the chambers, and it says the Spirit of the Lord gave the king, Pharaoh, some dreams. And he woke up disturbed. He knew what had happened. And he went to Abraham. He said, how dare you try to bring evil upon my kingdom by letting me take this woman, which is not your sister, which is your wife. And look, Pharaoh got these two on their camels and said, get out of here. Don't come back. You see, even God will take messed up things and turn it out okay. And you know, we all, you know, make some mistakes. And I hate to say mistakes, but sin or evil, whatever, things happen. But let me tell you, we have a covenant with our God. And he can solve these things as we allow him to solve these things. Now you have to remember, this is the Father. Father Abraham, making these two mistakes, or these mistakes. He surrendered his life to the Lord, though. It says this. It says he surrendered his nation, or his native land of Ur. He surrendered his family, him and Sarah, at a point. He surrendered, remember, the veil of Jordan. As he said, Lot, take whatever land you want. And Lot took the best of what he saw with his eyes. And Abraham took the unfertile land. He surrendered the riches of Sodom. He surrendered himself. He surrendered Ishmael, which was not the promised son, but he surrendered him to God. And he surrendered Isaac, which was the promised son. We have to live a life of just surrender. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's easier to surrender to God than to have to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. Certain circumstances. Huh? Surrender to God. Let him know that whatever he wants, if you can do it, he can count on you. Oh. Yeah. You know, I know we have some people that have their own businesses in here. And doesn't it feel good when you have employees that you can count on? You know, you have an employee you can't count on, won't last long. But if you have an employee that you can count on, that you know will be there day after day, that when you give him instructions, he will do what it needs, what is needed to be done. He will follow the things that need to be done. And when he does make a mistake, he'll come and say and live up to it. That's the kind of you see, surrender to God. Abraham and Sarah surrendered to God. Genesis chapter 22, if you turn there, please. Genesis 22. This is a story that has been told many times about Abram. And I know this is a story, but this was a fork in the road for him, and he had to do what was right. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, which, you know, the word tempt means, doesn't mean like a temptation, but just a test or to prove him, okay? And said unto him, Abram, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and came again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father, and said unto my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, and where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered the ram, and went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means that God will provide. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Here we see. You might say, I wish if God would ask of me that I could do that. You see, God will never ask you something that he knows you cannot do. Amen. Think of it. God will never tell you to do something that he knows you absolutely cannot do. When God called Abram and Sarah, before he changed their names and all the things they went through, he never would have asked him to kill his son or sacrifice his son. There were many things that I read earlier that came before, and one of the last thing was the surrender of Isaac, his son. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts, and he takes little things out of us and helps us to surrender to him little by little, making a right decision today, because he knows 5 years from now, he's going to ask us to do something, and we'll be able to do it because we've done the steps of earlier in our life in pleasing our God. Amen. You see, that's just like a child. I would never give a child a $100 bill. You can say, you can give it to me, though. You'd never give a child a $100 bill. They might tear it. They don't know the value of it. You could give them a quarter and a $100 bill, and they might take the quarter. You know, they don't know the value of what you can buy with this $100 bill. You know, that's just like God. He will never tell us to do something that we absolutely cannot do in our walk with him. That's why he'll do little things and he'll say, do this or do that, or lead us by the Spirit of God in areas that we know we can do at that time. And then got him to a place, Abraham, that he would actually sacrifice his son. That's surrender. Because you know what? We know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. And we know that God stopped him. It's an amazing thing that when he lifted up his eyes, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, that's it. See, he had to sacrifice on the exact mountain where God wanted him to do it. Look, God is very precise. God is very exact. And we got to get it right in seeking God and asking God in whatever areas. He lifted up his eyes. He knew for days they had been walking what God wanted. How many times have you stayed up at night thinking about stuff? And it's not to sacrifice your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife. It's not, I'm saying it's not to that point. It's other stuff. And it keeps you up because it keeps rolling in your mind. It keeps you up. And you're praying about it. You're crying about it. You're seeking God. And you just, can you imagine for 3 and 4 days of walking and having that on your mind, that the son you've been praying about that God gave you would be sacrificed? He didn't know what God would do. See, we sometimes don't know the end of the story. We know the story as we're walking through it and what will happen right then. But we don't know the end of the story. We don't know how God, how big our God is. And he told the servant, stay right here. I got to go with my son. See, a life of surrender is between you and God.
Yes,
and no one else can do it for you. Or for me. See, if I wanted to, I could keep back parts of my life from God if I want to. Just like you. You know, we can do it if we want to. But do we really want to? No. We're sold out believers for the kingdom of God. We're soldiers in the kingdom of God. We may not know everything. We may not have all the money we want or need, or we don't know any, you know, some things. But we can be sold out to him, saying, Lord, and give me wisdom, please. But we can be sold out to him and saying, Lord, help me to do what needs to be done. You see? Because the Father is looking in these last days for a people that will be sold out to him. That can stand up and saying, thus saith the Lord Almighty. Thus saith the Lord Almighty. This is what God says. This is what God's word says. Even though it's not popular with the world. But we stand upon the promises of our God and what he wants. And as they got up to that mountain, they had the wood, they had everything they needed. And the boy saw it. Do you think that was a heart wrencher? For Abraham, when the boy said, but Dad, you know how kids ask all kind of questions about why, and they don't understand why. And well, we have the wood, we have the flint, we have all the stuff we need, but we don't have the sacrifice. And what did Abraham say? God will provide.
Yes, amen.
And let me tell you, God will provide. God is the great provider. They built the altar, which represented the cross of Calvary, people. Oh, they put the wood, which represented the cross. And he bound up his son. How can you bind up your son and not have tears falling down your face? There's no way possible, people. There's no way possible. Bound him up. And even the boy talking to him, why, Dad? You know, we think, well, yeah, you know, and laid him upon that. And Abraham took his knife. or his, and went to sacrifice him. And the hand of the Almighty God caught him. Makes you want to shout. How God takes the hands of his people and puts them in the right direction. How God takes the hands of his people and moves upon them. He took his hand and stopped him and said, "No, now I know that you fear me and that you surrender to me." Oh my God. Look, when God said that, Abraham was so excited. He started taking the ropes off his son, said, "Get up, son." And there's the ram caught in the thicket. I don't know who went get it for sure, but I'll tell you what, if I was that boy, I would have ran for it. Ran for it. Got it out and brought it in sacrifice to their God. A life of surrender, people. When we got saved, we surrendered our hearts to the Lord. But there is something else that God wants for his church. And when we got saved, we surrendered. There was a conversion of the things that happened. But you know what? That's not all that God has for his people. We were baptized into his spirit. Now we need to be baptized with his spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about surrendering to God and how the Spirit of God came into that place and they started to speak in tongues. It says in Acts chapter 9 where the power of God, I think it's 9 or 10, 48, 49, where the power of God came into that place as they surrendered to God and they started speaking in tongues. You see, God wants to fill every one of us with his spirit as far as speaking in tongues, because it is the power from God. We've been regenerated and have been forgiven, and now we're reconciled to God. Now he wants us to have his power upon our lives. You see? That's like having a car or a truck. You know, that's like having a Mustang or a Camaro or, you know, a sports car with no gas. And it's just there. Well, it's like any other car. You know, you can take a little Volkswagen and it'll beat it. You know, you can take anything. But when you have the power of God or the fuel that is in it, that's the power. And that thing moves, you see. The only requirement to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the only one, there's only one, is to be saved. You have to be saved. That's it. That's it. You have to be saved. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then it says it is yours. If you would please stand for a minute.